Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Welcome, everybody. Great to be with you. It is Freedom Friday, the day after the giant Timber Unity rally at the Capitol building yesterday. Welcome to Political Coffee. I am your host, Jeff Krupp. It is, you know, I got to tell you, if my voice sounds a little bit tired, maybe a little bit scratchy, that's what happens when you talk all day, basically from the beginning of this show yesterday at 6 o'clock, then nonstop from 8:30 till 2 o'clock. Fortunately, and thanks to my fellow co-hosts for picking up some of the slack there and helping me out, Curtis Crittenden. And, Mickey Garris. Mickey, it's a great show on Saturday afternoons. We the People, 3 p.m. Patriot Rising Radio. And we saw that yesterday. And if you look at the news reports, folks, it was a spectacular day. And I'm going to kind of focus on that today because, you know, like Trump did yesterday, I'm going to take a little bit of a victory lap because we made an impact yesterday. Now, what do we do next? Well, we'll get into all of that as we go through the day today. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line, 503-589-1220. And you can send an email to Jeff at 1220.am, Jeff at 1220.am, and I will do my best to read it on the air. Also, Kim Thatcher, our great state senator from, you know, the Mid-Valley area here, Salem area specifically, is announced yesterday at the rally that she is running for Secretary of State. We're going to talk with her at the bottom of the hour about that race. So if you want to call and you want to comment, you better do it now. 503-589-1220, 503-589-1220. This segment of the show is brought to you by our friends at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. They sell some great Oregon-grown and processed CBD oil products. CannaShield, it is their brand. You can check it out. If you go to their website, vimsalem.com, vimsalem.com. That is who I buy my CBD oil products from. They're on South Commercial, right in South Salem, next to Safeway. Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. Incredible news today, by the way, before we go to the phones. Incredible news with the state of the economy, folks. We just got the jobs report at 5:30. 255,000 more new jobs of people in America last month, created last month. Now, that's pretty powerful because, again, everybody said we're at full employment. Now, the actual, here's what's interesting. The unemployment rate went up. Now, why would that be? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the number of people that are not counted in the labor force, according to the federal government, Bureau of Labor and Statistics, the number of people that are not in the labor force, meaning they don't have a job and were not looking for one. Okay, now that's important. People who have either given up hope or not interested or whatever. That number last month dropped down by 729,000 people, folks. So in other words, that's how many people went into the labor force looking for a job or got a job. Now think about that. 729,000 people decided they were going to enter the workforce. It's a stunning number. And it tells you a little bit about how strong this economy really is, because it is, folks. A couple of other things. That's why the unemployment rate ticked up a little bit. But the labor force participation rate is its highest it's been since June of 2013. Now, we've created a lot of jobs since then. Now, 2013, Obama was president, right? And when people say, well, this is really the result of the Obama economy, no, it isn't, folks. It isn't a result of anything that President Obama did. And all you have to do, again, is look at the surveys. Go back and Google them up. Look at the surveys from CEOs, from entrepreneurs, about where they're going to put money into investments, you will see it's a very different world. You see, it's been not just the tax cuts, friends, that brings America's corporate tax rate in line with countries like, oh, say, Sweden, Denmark, the developed world. That's what we did, because we had the almost the highest in the developed world. Well, we brought it down to be in line with them, and guess what? Money came back to America that was parked overseas with American corporations and a lot of other things. But even more importantly, folks, it wasn't just the tax cuts. It was the regulation cuts. The regulation cuts that have given CEOs confidence that, you know what? We can make an investment in America. We can make an investment in our local companies, put people to work. That's what you're seeing in these jobs numbers. And this is despite, and I'm going to go to the phones in a moment, but this is despite, friends, the real impact that the Boeing MAX 737 layoffs have had in manufacturing, and the fact now that long-term business investment has been suppressed by the Trump trade wars. And it has been. Because a lot of these companies that do business with China and others were a little worried about how this whole thing was going to play out. That now is a thing of the past. Here's my prediction to you. You will see a lot of individual investment increase pretty dramatically. Business investment, long-term structural investment in this country. You're going to see that increase pretty dramatically. You know why? Because trade war is over. And so that suppressive impact, and the word we got out that Boeing is, even though they have found a second software problem in the MAX 737, the FAA came out and said, yeah, they expect they're going to begin their first test flights of the MAX 737 again, done by the federal government, by the FAA themselves, next month. They're still on track to get it back in the air and get it back on the production line by summer. All of that, friends, should give you confidence that we are headed in a very good direction in this country and with the politics of this country. And with the politics of what we saw yesterday, the Timber Unity Rally, its impact was powerful, friends. And we're going to get into all of that because I've gotten a bunch of emails from people that I want to share with you. Because this is what it's all about. And what this show is about is helping you persuade the persuadables. It was a great day at the Oregon Citizen Lobby War Room yesterday. We had a lot of people in there. It was just an incredible day as we go. And I want to start with the phones, as I promised, because some people were there yesterday, and we'll start first with Bruce. Bruce, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Jeff. I was glad to see you there and glad to see all those patriots there standing up for working Oregonians.
And they did. I mean, let me give you guys, all of you, a little statistic. After it was all over with Bruce and everybody had kind of left, I was sitting around talking to the Timber Unity Rally organizers, members of their board and so forth. And they told me that the official count from Adam's Rib is that in the food tent, they served over 6,000 individual meals. You know what that means, Bruce? That means that over 6,000 people attended that rally.
Yeah, I'm thinking it was probably more than that. I mean, it was hard to see them because the big truck was parked kind of right in the middle. But, I mean, on both sides of that truck, all in front of the Capitol building, I'm thinking we're probably pushing more toward 10,000 people that were there in my own mind. But I just wanted to comment on the economic news. You know, Oregon needs to do the same thing that our country has done. We have become so uncompetitive, and if this cap and trade bill does go through, we're just going to be more uncompetitive. Our businesses need a tax cut, not a tax raise. So, you know, out in NORPAC lost 700 jobs out here in state and out in my district. And Oregon is headed the wrong way economically because of our tax structure and our stranglehold of these socialists on our process. And this year, we need to make a change. This year, we need to have 60 House members running, 15 Senate members running. We need 75 people so that we can run a vigorous general election campaign and win back the House and Senate so this governor cannot do this to us anymore. Oregon needs to be the most competitive state to be able for our businesses to thrive.
Go ahead. And you have just articulated, and I'm going to let you go because I want to move on. Bruce, thank you. But I got to tell you, you've just articulated the precise point. And what we believe the impact of yesterday's rally and this entire movement is, and that is bringing new people from our perspective of limited government, of common sense, of not having just job-destroying, unnecessary regulations, all of that is bringing new people to our side who believe that. They were at the rally yesterday, and they're going to be felt in the upcoming elections because that's how you change this. That's how you stop this madness. You're so right, Bruce.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and just quickly, what's your website for your candidacy?
It's www.timeforcuff.org.
Timeforcuff.org. Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
Sean Gillians is a lawyer friend of mine. He's a lobbyist at the Capitol. He was at the hearing that started at 3 o'clock yesterday for cap and trade. Here's what he tweeted out last night. He said, out-of-state lawyers having unlimited time to promote, speak on behalf of cap and trade, while everyday Oregonians were limited to 2 minutes or won't get to speak at all. Welcome to Salem. Welcome to the regressive totalitarian Marxist that run Salem. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Art. Art, good morning. What do you have to say?
Oh, lots of stuff, Jeff. So the way we combat that testimony thing is everybody needs to write in testimony and put down exactly what they think, because that goes on the public record, Jeff. And even though we know the Democrats are going to limit our voice, we can at least put it on the record. Now, let me say, okay, our lovely media, the AP, you know, claimed that, oh, hey, it was mostly just rural people. Well, you and I both know that's garbage. There was a big cross-section of all Oregonians, rural, city, and we're dang mad. And so, you know, that just goes to show how crooked the AP is by giving out false information that they didn't even have a clue on. Now, I do want to say I am so excited that Kim is running for Secretary of State.
Yeah, so am I. We'll be talking with her at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, we need to all...
Come and be active at the Capitol. Art, thanks so much, brother. We appreciate
it. Stop the car.
We gotta move. Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. You know, I'll make a deal with the... regressive totalitarian Marxists that run the Oregon legislature. In fact, all of the environmental wackos that really believe that we have just a little bit of time left unless we just destroy our economy by getting rid of all that evil carbon. Yeah, I'll make a deal with you. You know, I'll sign on to that when you get the rest of the world to sign on to it. How about that? Because you know what the reality is? And it is borne out in this Oregonian story, and you can see it if you go to the Oregonian today. You know, Ted Sickinger did really a pretty good story job as a reporter. He's one of their better reporters in covering the rally yesterday. By the way, Ted, it wasn't hundreds of protesters carrying flags and placards. It was thousands, and you know it. But anyway, he had a wine grower who lives outside of Salem who's supporting cap and trade. Because this wine grower thinks that it's necessary so that she can continue to grow wine. How dumb can you be? You know why? In testimony last night and in previous testimony, the official amount of carbon that gets reduced into the environment is 1/1800th of 1%. If we do this in Oregon. So it has absolutely no impact whatsoever. Yet we have to do it now. That's what the climate people are saying. It's in the story. We got to do it now. Because if we wait, it's going to be too late. Well, okay, so let's just, I mean, that's the same stupidity as Nancy Pelosi saying, we got to impeach now, and then holding the articles of impeachment for a month. We got to do it now. And then they're putting in this bill, and this is what they, and you heard this yesterday from Lindsay Burschauer, running for Yamhill County Commissioner. She was in that meeting with the governor. You heard her say that they're going to do the implementation over 5 years. This bill has an emergency clause. It's going to be implemented immediately in the urban areas, but the rural areas, we don't destroy your economy or hand out money to keep, and that's what they talk about in the story, by the way. Yeah, we're going to use this money to help, to give it to ranchers and farmers. Oh, that's wonderful. We lose our way of life so we can go on government welfare. These people are idiots, and they have no clue why all of these people showed up yesterday, why us in the rural folks, in the rural areas of the state, consider this a way of life. We don't want government handouts. We want government to get out of our lives and leave us alone. Now, there were other people doing that also. And that's mentioned in the story. You see, what they found out, there are other controversial issues that were woven into this, like forced vaccinations. Oregonians for Medical Freedom, these are all these men and women, these parents that don't want to lose their parental rights, that still want to be able to choose when and how many vaccines their kids get. Well, one of them said, the only vaccine Oregon needs is one to prevent cap and trade. Ooh, that's a great line, isn't it? The only vaccine Oregon needs is one to prevent cap and trade. Friends, I'm telling you that what happened yesterday was profound. And it was. I'm telling you. Because yesterday there were, in fact, I got a tweet, a great tweet from Leslie O'Korn. Can you hear us now? Oregon polls, hashtag timber unity. And it was a picture of a seedling tree, which they were handing out yesterday to people. It says, reduce carbon, plant a tree. You see, that's one of the things that the group that met with the governor, timber unity group that met with the governor yesterday, that's what they were pitching to her. We have a 4-point plan, and one of them is doing a massive tree planting exercise on state lands. You know, all of these I-5 interchanges and other places, you know how much land the state of Oregon owns and highways? Why can't we plant some trees along there? Duh! Now, the governor didn't want to hear that, folks. Because she is a regressive totalitarian Marxist. That's the truth of the matter. By the way, I want to thank the state employee who shall never be named. Came by yesterday, introduced himself along with his family. Appreciate that. In fact, appreciate all of you. A lot of you came by and introduced yourselves to me. And I deeply appreciate that. It was wonderful to put a face with a name. Yesterday, the Oregon Citizen Lobby had our war room going. It's every Thursday, starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, every Thursday. You know, it's in different rooms. Yesterday, we had it full. There was a lot of people there. We help average citizens. We train you how to gain the confidence to go be effective at testimony in front of a legislature and how to talk to your legislators effectively. Well, it's nothing new. In fact, Betty Fruoff, who's a former Marion County commissioner, said that what we're doing with the Oregon Citizen Lobby is what she was doing back in the 80s, urging people through her writings, her legislative action news, to go to the Capitol, plug the meters, observe, testify, and talk to legislators. You know, that's, and I wrote her back and I said, you know, that's exactly what we need more of. And it is what works. It worked back then. It works today. You can't do it with electronics. You can't do it with these other things. In a moment, let's go quickly to Rich. Rich, you got about 30 seconds. Go.
Yeah, they have an agenda. It's not that they don't know what they're doing. They have an agenda, and they're going to run with it, and it's not an agenda for us.
Well, you're right. It isn't an agenda for us, for those of us who believe in limited government. Rich, thanks so much. When we come back from the bottom of the hour, we'll have Kim Thatcher, who is running for Secretary of State. She announced that yesterday. I want to thank my friends at Diamond Royal. Royalty rights, do something really special for people. Check out their website, diamondroyaltyrides.com. Diamond Royalty Rides. All right, back in a moment with Kim Thatcher at 6:30. Don't go away.
Now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is 24 minutes before the top of the hour. In a moment, we're going to talk with newly announced Secretary of State candidate, State Senator, our own State Senator, Kim Thatcher. I want to thank you all for coming by the broadcast booth yesterday as we talked our silly heads off all day long from early in the morning till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was wonderful to meet so many of you. And you know what? All of our great sponsors that made that event possible are great local companies that we want to encourage you to do business with, just as the sponsor for this segment, which is Righteous Renovations. And that's Eric Azor. He's a man of faith who is, well, pretty boldly puts his faith on display for everybody by using the word righteous in his name of his company. Go to his website, righteousrenovations.com. He can help you build a new deck. He can remodel your kitchen, your bathroom. There are lots of great testimonials on his website, righteousrenovations.com. You know, Joseph Stalin was a, you know, brutal communist dictator, and he had a saying, didn't he? You know what it was? It doesn't matter who votes. What matters is who counts the votes. And in Oregon, the person really responsible for that under our Constitution is the Secretary of State. It's a really important position, not just because it's vote counting and all of the issues that surround that, but it's also this whole business that you're second in line to the governorship, which is how we got Kate Brown, as we know. Yesterday at the Timber Unity Rally, Kim Thatcher, I'm now didn't know that until just a few minutes before. So we have her on the line right now. Kim Thatcher, congratulations on running for Secretary of State. You want to tell everybody why you chose to do that?
Ah, hi, Jeff. Well, you know, it's been one of those things that I've thought about over the years, that if there was a statewide office I ran for, that is the one, because I feel like I'm most kindred to that one, simply because I've worked on transparency issues and election issues and business ombudsman issues, which is something that's run by that division. And it's kind of my area. I've been in legislative audits for many years. It's been something I've been interested in and involved in since my legislative career started.
Well, you were actually very, wasn't it your bill that really moved the state to make the state's checkbook transparent and online?
Yes, it was forward. Interestingly, in order to get it passed, you have to work with across the aisle, and I got two Democrats and another Republican to sign on. We got together. We really wanted this to work. We asked for everything in the kitchen sink. It had to be pared back substantially because this was in, I believe, 2009, and we were in the throes of a recession. Revenues weren't great, so we had to make it revenue neutral, where nothing, you know, we were not allocating more money to it. So there's a ton of information on there. However, it does need to be improved greatly, and unfortunately we'll have to put a little bit of money to it. But I think it'll make it a lot more easy for citizens and newspapers and people to find out really what's going on in their government.
Well, it's incredibly important. You know, transparency has not been Kate Brown's hallmark achievement, as every major newspaper in the state has hit her hard on the fact that she said she was going to be transparent when she became governor, and she's done everything but be transparent. And, you know, when you lose the newspapers on an issue like that, I mean, it's pretty obvious that you're not being honest with people. What you're talking about is holding the government as Secretary of State to a level of transparency that, frankly, is appropriate.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, and I'm also on the Public Records Advisory Council, and so that's a new commission that was council that was put together. The last legislature, well, it was recent anyway. I don't remember the date, but Ginger McCall, as you recall, had to resign because she was being asked to be dishonest to the voters and to taxpayers, and so we were trying to work on independence for that position, and. As such, there's a bill that will be up Monday morning in the government. I think it's government. They change the names every once in a while. It's the Government Accountability Committee. And we'll see how that goes.
So you also, as Secretary of State, if you're elected, you will serve on the state land board. And that's the governor, it's the treasurer, and it's the Secretary of State. You make decisions about how Oregon's right. I mean, how Oregon's lands are managed, especially our forests. Are they going to be logged? Are they going to be, locked up so they burn up and all of that insanity? And that plays right into yesterday's rally, doesn't it?
Yes, we've not managed our forests well to the point where people needlessly lost jobs and counties have needlessly lost revenue because of it, and our economy has been hurt.
Well, it certainly has. So let me ask you this. So you're a pretty conservative Republican. You're a longtime businesswoman from, the local, the Salem area here. So how do you win over the biggest block of voters in the entire state? And that's women voters in the Tri-County area, Multnomah, Clackamas, Washington County. There are 25% of all the votes cast in the entire state are just women from that three-county area. Being a pro-life, conservative, faith-oriented person, how do you win them over?
Well, to me, the job has no – I'm not going to be making decisions on pro-life issues or abortion issues or anything like that. I just need to make sure that ballot initiatives are meeting qualifications, and if they meet qualifications, great. It doesn't matter what the subject matter is. People need to have access to it, and no matter who they are, if they're following the rules, they're following the rules.
So how are you going to differentiate yourself from, the folks, Mark Cass and Jennifer Williamson that are running on the Democrat side, that have a pretty liberal voting record? How are you going to differentiate yourself in how you're going to operate as Secretary of State, given what you just said? Okay, how are you going to show yourself different from what they're saying?
I haven't heard what each of them is looking to do, but I do know one of the candidates has said they would use the office to hold businesses accountable. And I'm thinking, well, wait, what? I kind of want to help with businesses staying in business and not trying to shut them down because I don't like them.
Well, yeah, I got to tell you that constitutionally, I don't know how a Secretary of State holds private business accountable for anything. That's not their role as Secretary of State. And the auditing function is only for government, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is meant for government, but you know how things get twisted.
Yeah, I do, unfortunately. And that's exactly why we need someone who has the right perspective like you. All right, so you've announced yesterday, have you put together a campaign plan? You know, are you going to travel all across the state? What are you going to do to get elected?
You know, this decision to announce this week was made less than a week ago. So this is a fairly new, and we're working on all those details. Of course, I'm going to have to go and visit with people all over the place. But, yeah, I do need to concentrate on voters that might not be my typical in my typical area or believe exactly as I do. So, absolutely.
Well, you know, Bible says you go right into the enemy's camp. And, you know, the places you've got to convince the bulk of voters are where the populations are. But you can't ignore. I want to really encourage you to go out in the rural areas of the state, all across the state. Make sure you get out there because you need to show those folks you care about them enough that you'll go out and campaign. And I certainly hope you do that. I think your timing is perfect, not only just because of the rally yesterday, because I think we're going to see, Kim, this feels a lot like 2010. We had massive gains across the country. And also here in Oregon in the legislative seats. I think there's going to be a big coattail, tailwind with Donald Trump in the presidential election. I think your timing is perfect.
Well, I actually think that this last legislative session, at least the one in 2019, woke up many people who have not been politically active and are becoming so now. And that bodes well as well.
Oh, it does. And I, you know, look at all these liberal Democrat women who are pro-choice that came and joined with you and I and others to stop losing parental rights with this forced vaccinations bill. They were there yesterday, by the way.
I know. Yeah. I had many of them come up to me and say, I have re-registered as a Republican. I'm like, well, welcome.
Welcome and tell your friends and your neighbors and the old believer community and the Slavic community, so many of those people that are naturalized citizens from Russia and the Ukraine and other countries. Mm-hmm. They are now part of that coalition. And I'm telling you, that's why I think your timing is perfect.
Well, I hope so.
Kim, how do you have a website set up and Facebook and all of that?
Yes, kimthatcher.com. And, of course, there's Facebook is already there and posts are going up. I had a number. I don't know what that number is now, but there was a number that people could call, and I'm hoping maybe somebody listening could send me that number. Who knows that number? Shoot. I don't know if she's able to listen right now, but I don't want to give you the wrong number. But anyway, there is the ways to donate online at kimthatcher.com. And I just look forward to meeting people and working with them and making sure that they know I do care. And I want to approach this job as not as somebody who wants to force an agenda, but as somebody who wants to make government better. That's really what my goals have been all the time. And all this other stuff also, you know, that is controversial also weighs in, but this is not what this job's about.
All right, Kim, thanks so much for joining us. Kim Thatcher, go to her website, kimthatcher.com. We wish her well. We'll no doubt have more conversations with her as time goes by. 6:48 at the moment. We'll be right back.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. In a moment, we're going to go back to the phones. You can send me an email, by the way, to Jeff at 1220.am. I'll do my best to read it on there. And I've got some great emails that really illustrate the impact of yesterday's rally. And frankly, the impact of this little old radio station here in Salem, Oregon, in people's lives. No, I'm serious. It was pretty profound. This segment of the show is brought to you by our friends at Freedom Heating and Air, freedomheatingandair.net. A great local company. 40 years they've been in business. They, they specialize in keeping you warm in the winter and cool in the summer, and helping you find ways to keep your utility bills lower. So why don't you check them out? freedomheatingandair.net. They have a special going on this month for ice machines. They do restaurant refrigerator repairs for those of you in the restaurant business and so forth. But they also have discounts for veterans, seniors, and property managers. So check them out, freedomheatingandair.net. So yesterday, as we broadcasted all day long, which was something we did not know we were going to do. But I appreciate the passion of the folks who run this radio station, Cindy, for recognizing the importance of what happened yesterday. And the impact, I'm telling you, folks, was pretty profound. Let me just give you one email, one of many. This is from James. He'd been listening since about noon. As we just had all of these guests on, he said, you've had awesome guests. Craig Pope, great to hear from him. West Salem, or the whole of Polk County, as a Second Amendment sanctuary. You have my vote. James, who's running in District 36, downtown Portland, he came by. That man has got his head on straight. I was impressed. Anna from the Old Believers community is right on track. The physicist spoke real truth to climate change. That's Dr. Gordon Folks that we talked about. He said, I thought this state has already done marvelous things for the environment. How blind can the legislature be to the real truth? In those back rooms, I bet all they speak about is the money and how they'll be spending it. Not a care to the real detrimental impact it will have on all Oregonians. That's from Jim, west of the Willamette. Jim, thanks so much. Friends, I'm telling you, that was kind of the impact of yesterday, of just being on the air and talking to all of those people. And I've got more. I mean, I'm just kind of getting started, but I got to go to the phones. We talked to Rebecca, who's on the line. Rebecca, good morning. What do you have to say, especially about yesterday's rally?
Well, I hope I have a good connection this morning.
You do.
Yesterday, there were so many times that in the hearing that they stated that the science of climate change demands that we do this. And like you said, when you get down to the raw facts, there is no climate change. I mean, it's all in the definitions. Like, they're defining it as all burning of forests, all climate changes are due to climate change. It's a circular reasoning of and a definition that's it slides around and doesn't have any real feet to it, and it's because they have an agenda. They want to create the biodiversity treaty that Bill Clinton signed to be the law of the land, even though that treaty has never been ratified by the Senate. It's never become the actual law of the land, and yet the Democrats have treated it like it's sacred and is the law of the land ever since Bill Clinton signed it. And they've been trying to bring its agendas. One of them is called Agenda 21, which is to reduce the human population down to a very low number of people, and restrict us from food and water and land. It calls for all kinds of destructive
things. It is a socialist agenda out of the United Nations. Rebecca, thanks for reminding me about that. We got to let you go because I need to finish up the show here, folks. What a great point. But what cap and trade is just a part of the socialist control agenda. Now, yesterday, I got an email from, and by the way, Avis, thanks for coming by and introducing yourself. She said shuttle bus drivers were great. Visited with a man who lives is a farmer, 20 miles south of Astoria. Says like the first farmer you had on, that the neighbors are about to sell out their dairy farm. This man said his family had been in Oregon since the 1880s. Well, and he talked about a number of things, but I got to tell you that he and his wife, Ava says he and his wife had watched the President's State of the Union speech, but that his wife had put a towel over half of the TV so she didn't have to look at Nancy Pelosi acting like a child. Unbelievable. Hopefully we're going to be able to have a podcast up of yesterday's event. I don't know if we're going to have the entire day, but it would have been great. Dwight wrote me an email saying he was circling the Capitol yesterday. He was listening to our live coverage, interviewing candidates for the local races, and many of them were apparently first-time candidates. That's correct. One was a young woman with a family. He writes, you ask each candidate why were they running for office. She took the question head-on. She talked about the school showing graphically explicit porno films to our teenagers under the guise of sex education. She made the specific comment that a school was showing a film of two adult men having homosexual sex. The purported reason was sex education in the classroom. The candidate's comment was that you and I could be arrested for showing pornography in our homes, yet the school can show it with impunity. It's part of the LGBTQ movement that liberals promote? Yeah, it's absolutely frightening. Wow, how much power do these schools have over our students and their education? I was shocked. I shared the story with some friends who couldn't believe the story. Did I hear what I thought I heard? Can you elaborate on the story? Yes, you heard. That was from Anna Kasachev, who is a first-time candidate. She's part of the Russian old believer community that has come alive over this and the vaccination issues. And I'm so pleased that they are, along with the Slavic vote group. Yes, this is true. And I'm telling you, friends, there's a lot of people in the middle that don't like where we're headed with this stuff at all. Lee writes me an email about planting a tree. Who's going to pay for the seedling, the labor to organize planting, the approval of the grounds to plant, and how will a planted tree fuel their agenda? Questions that can be answered when the problem is correctly addressed. Dang, I keep forgetting that we must tax for our kids' education, why not? The world's going to end soon, right? And Lee also congratulates Kim's timing for running for Secretary of State. Those are just some of the emails. And by the way, I got a great email from Maurice. She said, here is Julie Parrish's former state representative who's tied into the Timber Unity movement. Her presentation to the Cap and Trade Committee. He said, it's absolutely priceless, in case you haven't read it yet. I haven't. Try to put it up on the show plan as we do the podcast of this. Thanks for listening, friends. It's the end of the week. Be blessed. Have a wonderful weekend. Keep fighting. Keep praying. See you on Monday.